Aloha, and thank you so much for joining us on the New Hope Legacy podcast sermon of the week. To finalize the thank you testimonies, today we have Adam Brown. I hope everybody had a very good Thanksgiving and enjoy. Aloha.
Good to see you all here today. Happy Sunday. How's everybody doing? Everybody finished digesting yet? How's the turkey sandwiches, the ham sandwiches, the turkey soup, the shepherd's pie? You know, this is the best part of Thanksgiving is the week after and all the leftovers. Amen? I think y'all are still sleeping off the turkey. Happy Thanksgiving. It's good to see everybody here. And thank you to everybody joining us online. We're so glad to have you with us today as well. Just to reiterate one more time, the Volunteer Appreciation Party next week had previously been announced as an evening event. Angela did not misspeak. The time has been changed, and it is now happening directly after service next week, December 3rd. So please don't show up in the evening. There won't be any leftovers. That would be sad. But we're going to have a good time. Who is this event for? It's for you if you're a volunteer. It's for you if you have volunteered in the past, and it's for you if you think that maybe someday you might like to volunteer somewhere. Please, come on down. We would love to have you there next week right after the Sunday morning service. Well, it's hard to believe this is the last Sunday in November already, and here we are almost into December already. Where did the year go? Where did the month go? But it's the last weekend in November, and this is the last week of our series that we've been going through called Thank You. Now, we have a little tradition at New Hope Legacy. Maybe this is your first time. We have a little tradition that every year in November, we take the whole month to share stories of God's goodness. And so we spend the month, the weekends of November, giving testimonies and telling the story of God's greatness and His goodness in our life. And we've heard some amazing testimonies already this month. We heard from Lori. Can we give her a hand? We heard from Ferdinand. Can we give him a hand? Thank you, sir. We've heard some amazing things about what God has done in the lives of the people that we see every Sunday. And here's the thing, is we can sit right next to somebody and never know their story until we take the time to get to know them. We can sit right next to somebody that's lived through something that could help us in the season that we're in and never know it unless we take the time to have that conversation and to hear what God's done in their life. We want to be a church that shares what God has done. We want to be a church that does testify to His greatness, that are witnesses of His greatness, as we're called to do. And today, I'm excited to be bringing another testimony to you today from right here in our church family. Mr. Adam Brown has been a member of our church family for quite some time. Come on up, Adam. We usually keep him in the cage in the back. We don't let him out too often. So maybe you've seen him in the back running Pro Presenter and making all the things happen on the screens and so forth. But this is an amazing man of God, and he has an amazing calling on his life as a missionary, as a communicator, as a teacher. We don't get to see those sides of you or those aspects of your calling real often, but I'm so excited to have you sharing the Word of God today. Would you help me welcome Adam Brown?
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I'm just going to pray before we start, so let me just pray. Father, we just thank you so much for this day. We thank you so much for just your goodness to each of us, Lord, even as we think about your goodness and just gratitude this month. We always have things to be grateful for, Lord, and we're just so thankful. Just for this church family, we thank you, Lord, for the ways that you're working in our lives. And Lord, just pray for this time. I give it to you, and I just pray, Lord, you would have your way. Lord, you would accomplish everything that you purpose to accomplish in this time. I just pray your Holy Spirit would work powerfully, God. I thank you that I'm able to share just what you've done in my life, and just for all these testimonies we've been able to share even over the past month of just seeing your just amazing work and your grace and your mercy at work in our lives. And so I just pray that, yeah, you would just speak through me today and that you would just bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, yeah, I'm excited to be able to share my testimony today. I've been thinking about just the testimonies from last week and the week before. And I always love hearing testimonies because it's just so cool how everyone has different life stories. We all have different backgrounds. We all come from different places. But it's cool hearing testimonies because at the end of the day, we all end up at the same place. We end up at the foot of the cross. So it doesn't matter which direction you're coming from. Like even hearing Ferdinand's story, Lori's story, everyone, like very different life stories. Mine's also going to be very different. But the key thread and the key theme is that we all end up at the foot of the cross, that God in different ways has brought us close to him and brought us to the cross and brought transformation in our lives. So I'm excited to share testimonies. Even though we're talking about, you know, you're going to hear my story, you heard Ferdinand's story, it's not about us, though. That's the thing that I love about testimonies, because they point to Christ, and that's the whole point of a testimony, is to point to Christ. So I'm excited to do that. That's why I love sharing my testimony, because it's not about me, but it's about God's mercy and his grace, as you'll see, in terms of just undeserved grace and mercy. And so I get excited when I get to share testimonies, and it like reminds me freshly of like what the Lord's done in my life. And so I'm going to go through and share just the story of how the Lord brought me to the foot of the cross and just has completely changed my life through his love and his mercy. So this is just a picture. This is a more recent one. This is actually, Pastor Trent mentioned, I'm doing like flight training here. This is a more recent picture of just me being here. But yeah, I just want to go through. I'm going to share just briefly about my life. So you can go to the next. So I am a Canadian. I'm a proud Canadian. I love Canada and the city of Toronto. Is a beautiful city. If you ever get a chance to visit, come visit in the summer. I grew up in Canada, but I'm not a big fan of the winter and the snow and stuff. But in the summer, it's a beautiful city. And I'm blessed to have been able to grow up in the city of Toronto. Spent most of my life there. Grew up there, a lot of family there and everything. And so for me, that's my home. That's where I grew up. And you can go to the next slide. This is a picture of my family. These are the most important people in my life. So my parents are there on the right side. My dad and my mom in the blue dress. My dad's from Jamaica. My mom's actually from Egypt. And fun fact, they actually met at a McDonald's when they were teenagers. So they moved from their respective countries when they were younger. And they started working at McDonald's when they were teenagers. And they've been together. We just actually went home in the summer to celebrate their 40th anniversary. So I was able to be back for that, which is really just a blessing. My parents there, I'm there beside my mom, and then just I have two brothers, and then two sister-in-laws now, and then a sister as well. And then the boys are just a bunch of nephews. I have four nephews right now, five coming on the way, and then it's five and six. So I'm going home in December. Both my sister-in-laws are pregnant and due in December, so I'm actually getting to go home next month, and we'll be meeting some new babies during that time. So that's a bit about my family, just amazing family, and just thank God I've had like a really solid upbringing in the sense that I grew up in the church and just had that foundation laid in my life, which is a huge blessing. So very familiar with church, growing up in church, went to church camps, things like that. So all four of us, that's me on the second from the left, and then my other siblings. I have an older brother, a younger brother, and then my sister on the right is the eldest of us all. And so, yeah, we've been blessed with just an amazing family in the sense that I've been able to just have good family, raised in the church. I was taught about God from when I was young. I remember one of the things that we had to do, one of our, like, punishments or things that my mom would do is, like, different things. We'd actually have to write out proverbs and different things. Like there would be like certain, if we did something, it'd be like, okay, write out certain proverbs over and over again. And just, there's just different ways that my parents would try to instill the word of God in us and like different things. So I'm very thankful to have that upbringing. So in terms of just my family and my upbringing, so we had this solid upbringing, but the reality is that for all four of us, and I'll speak about my own testimony as well, but for all four of us, the reality is that we had this strong upbringing. We knew about Jesus. We knew about the Bible and all these things. But as we got older, we live in the world, and the world has a strong influence. And so for myself and then also for my siblings, we all just, you know, we would even still go to church and stuff, but the reality was that the influence of the world just continued to draw and pull us away from the things of God and just began to live in ways that was not honoring to the Lord and just was not reflective of a life that's lived for God. And so that was my case, and that was the case for all of my siblings as well. You can go to the next slide. So this is my younger brother. We're about 2 years apart, and the reason why I want to share a little bit about him specifically is because his testimony and his life actually plays a key part in how the Lord actually awakened me to truth and actually got me onto the right path. So the Lord did a cool thing in my family where he actually saved us in like reverse order. So that's my youngest brother on the right. And so he was like radically transformed first. And then it was me. Then it was like my older brother, then sister. So it was like a reverse order. in terms of how the Lord actually saved us and brought us into the faith, which was pretty cool. But for my brother, my younger brother, he was like, so in my family, none of us were actually following the Lord in terms of like really living for the Lord. But in terms of like, if you had to like put it on a scale, my younger brother would have been like the furthest away from the Lord in the sense that he was just in high school. You can go to the next slide. So this is him like more than 15 years ago in high school. Here he is like smoking or whatever. But basically he was just into like just drugs and different things. And he had ended up getting kicked out of high school at one point and was just like getting in trouble with the law, different things like that. So it was just like very like we were none of us were living for the Lord. But if you looked at it was like he was the one who was like he looked really far from the Lord in this sense. And I say this for a reason, but it's because so he was living this way. I remember he got kicked out of high school and he ended up moving to, I was in university in Windsor and he was like in Toronto 4 hours away, but he got kicked out of the high school there and he actually had to come to Windsor to finish school there, high school there and stuff. And just, it was actually during that time that he was in Windsor that the Lord actually did. I won't go into all the details of his story, but it really plays into mind that the Lord really like in an amazing way, like completely delivered him out of darkness and just like the life that he was living. Like it was a complete, like I had never seen anyone get like saved before my eyes, you know, like even the first verse that I had up was talking about, you know, when you're in Christ, like behold, you're a new creation. And so I mean, that verse to me even just seemed kind of like poetry in a sense, like nice poetry. Behold, like if you're in Christ, like you're a new creation. Like I'd never actually seen someone like become a new creation in front of my eyes. And so my brother, my younger brother was the first person that I saw that was utterly transformed to the point where I was super skeptical at first. I didn't even believe like what I was seeing. Like I thought it was just a phase. I didn't really believe what I was seeing. So he literally, like I still remember this. I have this vision, this picture in my mind. Like I would, at different times, like I would go to nightclubs with my brothers. And so after my brother's life was complete, it's another cool story, but obviously I don't have time to go into that. But like when his life was completely transformed, I used to go to clubs, like nightclubs with my brothers and stuff like that. And I remember after he got saved, he stopped coming to the nightclubs. And I remember one night specifically, our rooms were in the basement beside each other. And I remember I was leaving to go to a club with my other brother and walked by this brother's room. And he was in his room reading his Bible on like a Friday night. And I was like, what is this guy doing? Like, what's wrong with him? Like, I was like, he didn't want to come with us anymore. But it was just weird. And it was like, it created like a tension, actually, to be honest. Like, when he first got saved, it actually created like a pretty big tension between us and him because he was obviously living in the light and we were still living in darkness. And he's a straight shooter in the sense that he doesn't play around. Like, especially when he became a Christian, like he was very, very direct. And just like, it's one of the things I appreciate about him. But what's the next slide? Hold on, don't go to it yet. Let me just make sure. You can go to the next slide. So, this statement. So one day, I get home. My brother's room is beside mine in the basement, and so I'm walking into my room, and then my younger brother follows me into my room, and he basically closes the door, and then he just like I said, he's a straight shooter. He got right to the point. He came in and he literally asked me this question, and he said, "If you were to die today, where would you end up?" And so I had never been asked this question before. This was the first time. I mean, I've heard the question, but you know, like in sermons or things, like pastors will ask like rhetorical questions. You don't actually have to answer it. Like maybe a pastor will say this, but you don't have to answer it. Whereas it wasn't a rhetorical question. Like my brother was asking me, like, where are you going to end up? And he was just standing right there. And so I started to answer him. And what I'd realized as I was answering him was that I didn't have an answer. So I started to fumble and I was like, well, like, I think I'll end up in heaven. And like I just, it was not a solid answer. And then he was like, he's like, okay, well, why? And I was like, well, you know, like I pray, like I go to church. I just started saying different stuff. And like, I asked for forgiveness. And then he asked me, he said, what about like the fornication in your life? And I didn't even know what that word meant at that point. So I'm like, I was confused when he asked me that, like, what is fornication? I didn't even know what it meant. But he obviously explained it to me, and he was like, you know, I had a girlfriend at the point, and I was sleeping around with her. I wasn't living a godly life in that sense, and just was caught up in a lot of sexual sin in that sense. So he was like, well, what about that? And because he knew that to be the case. And I said, well, you know, I ask for forgiveness or I pray for forgiveness for it or whatever. But even for me, my answer wasn't solid because I knew it was just something that I did, but it was like I just did it because I felt bad. It was more just to make me feel better about my sin. It really didn't have anything to do with God. It was actually selfish. Even my prayers for forgiveness, it was like, God, forgive me. It wasn't even about God, though. It was about me. I felt bad. I knew what I was doing was wrong. And I would say these prayers, and it was like, so basically, he was like grilling me and stuff. And like, after that, and to be honest, that wasn't the point that like where I actually got saved or where it ended up changing my life. But it was, this was at a point in my life where the Lord ended up, started turning up the heat in terms of really confronting me. So even though my brother directly confronted me with this, it didn't like, it really was the first time I really thought about it, but it was still, I mean, it's crazy. Like, I actually still, it didn't change my life. Like, I still went on and I was still living in sin after that. But it was during the season where the Lord was, like, really starting to turn up the heat in my life and really get my attention in terms of how I was living and stuff. So that was shortly before I got saved, but it wasn't something that actually led to my salvation. So you can go to the next slide. So this is, I went to school in university in Windsor. When I was younger, I'm 36 now, and I went to university so a long time ago, but, this is actually right across, if you look across the bridge, it's actually Detroit. So if you're wanting to know where Windsor is, it's in Canada, it's on the Canadian side. Like, I can literally see Detroit from my school. And so I finished, high school and was going to university here. I ended up being here for about 5 years, and so basically for me, like during high school and then even coming into university, I was actually, before I left to go to university, I was in a relationship with this girl, and it ended up being about like a 5 year long relationship. And so basically I remember going off to university and really just like, you know, living on my own, had that freedom and stuff, and just really started like getting into like the university life in a greater way. So it was like, even when I was in high school, I was not living a good life or a life that was following the Lord, but getting into university just kind of kept going in that trajectory. So I was in the clubs every weekend. I started to live a real double life in the sense too, because I had a girlfriend in Toronto, but then I was also like involved with other women like in university and different things. And I was like living a double life in the sense that I was, my girlfriend was always asking me what I'm doing, and like, she didn't like the fact that I would go to nightclubs. So I'd tell her, oh no, I don't go to nightclubs. I was going to a nightclub every weekend. And so she would call me on the weekends, and I'd have to like, basically got into this pattern of like lying and covering up lies. And it was like this trail of just like continued lies, this constant lying pattern, and just like, just this increasing reality of like living a double life. Like, it just kept growing of like, this is what I'm putting on in terms of how I'm living, but I was living something completely different. And it was just, it started to weigh on me more and more as the years went on. And like, to be honest with you, like, and this is the reality of sin. It's not like, obviously there's a certain amount of pleasure in it, but it wears off though. Like, it's, I've heard this saying where it says like, sin over promises but under delivers. And so it's this reality of like, it's this illusion of like pleasure and like satisfaction. It's like a mirage. And then you arrive there, and yeah, there is a certain sense of satisfaction and pleasure or whatever, but then it fades. Like, it's just, and then it leaves you empty and broken after that. So it's not even that it just fades. It's like, it gives you a taste of something, but then it offers you something on the opposite spectrum in terms of destruction and shame and pain and all these things. Like, it's never productive. And we know that. And so even as I was in university, I was going out to the club every weekend. I was living this double life, sleeping around with different people and things like that. And like, and it started to become very like it started to lose its, like it wasn't as satisfying anymore. And it was just starting to be something where even going to the clubs and stuff, like it started to become more like, I just went, but I wasn't enjoying it as much anymore and all this kind of stuff. So essentially was continuing living this double life. And then basically what had happened, I was ended up being with this girl I was mentioning for about 5 years. And then we ended up breaking up after about 5 years. It was something where we just realized that the relationship wasn't going anywhere. I wasn't committed to the relationship. My girlfriend didn't know that at the time, but I knew I wasn't actually committed to the relationship. And so that was obviously showing in the relationship. And it was just something where we realized it wasn't going anywhere. And so we decided to break up. And so I'm no longer in this relationship. And then in 2010, you can go to the next slide. In 2010, I was in Windsor, which is about 4 hours from Toronto. So I went back home for the holidays. So I went back to Toronto for the holidays, just to be there for over the holidays, the Christmas holidays. And then basically what happened on January 2nd of 2010. So I was, like I said, I was in the habit of going to nightclubs and things like that. And I decided to go to a nightclub on January 2nd with some of my friends. Some of my friends from Windsor and then also some of my friends from Toronto. We went to this nightclub downtown Toronto and was there. And again, it was still at the point where I was like, I would go to clubs, but I wasn't enjoying them as much. But I just kind of went. There was nothing better to do on Friday or Saturday night. And so I was there. And then basically what had happened around like 2 in the morning, I ended up getting a text message from, this would have been my ex-girlfriend at the point, at this point. And so basically what had happened was I get this text message and it wasn't technically supposed to be sent to me. So she, my ex-girlfriend was talking to her best friend and her best friend was saying in third person, like, what would you do if like your boyfriend was at a club doing this and that? And just like explaining or giving a list of different things. And for whatever reason, my ex-girlfriend thought that like she was talking about me and that situation was happening in the moment. So it's crazy because I talked to her about it after and she's like, I don't know, I just thought that she was talking about you. So my ex-girlfriend sent me a text message that started with by saying like, what are you doing in a nightclub without any actual knowledge that I was in a nightclub. So I get this text message. It says, what are you doing in a nightclub? She didn't know I was actually in a nightclub, but I happened to be in a nightclub. So I just was like, I immediately started to think like, who told her that I'm here? Or like, I was trying to put the pieces together, but it was obviously God at work and you'll see why. But so she sent me this message saying like, what are you doing here in a nightclub? You're there for all the wrong reasons. And she basically just started calling out a bunch of sin in my life. Like it was like this long text message calling out sin. And then at the end of the text message, this is how the text message ended. You can go to the next slide. So, yeah, so that was like the end of her message. It was a long message calling out sin in my life. And then it was like, you're a fake Christian. That's how she ended it. And so initially when I read this, I was mad because I'm like, one, I'm not with this girl anymore. I was mad. And then it went from that to immediately like this sense of like, this statement hit me like a ton of bricks. Like it was so like heavy in the sense that it was like, it hit me in the sense I realized it was true, but it was like the first time that I actually realized it in my life. And I was like 22 at this point. And this is the first time I realized like I've been living saying I was a Christian all this time. And this is the first time it actually hit me. I'm not actually a Christian. And so I read this and then I was like, I was quiet for the rest of the night and basically was like thinking about this. And basically the Lord started to, it was weird. So the best way I found to describe it is that it was like the Lord, like, you know, where it talks about Saul and the scales came off of his eyes in the Bible. The best way I can describe it is like, if it was like scales came off my eyes in that moment. Like I was in this club, I was living in darkness and all of a sudden scales like, obviously, it's not physically, but like scales came over my eyes and I was able to see. And I say that because it was like, I'm in this club. It was the weirdest thing because like the music that I was playing at the time, it was like secular rap music, which I grew up listening to. I loved it. But it was like all of a sudden, the music that was playing in the club actually started to bother me. Like it was the weirdest thing. Like it was like, and even now, like if I hear like secular, I can't stand it. Like it's so, like it's, I listen to like, rap, I still like rap music, but like obviously Christian godly music. But when I hear some of the seculars, I'm like, man, this is horrible. Like it's so degrading. A lot of it just like degrades women and just things like that. And it was like, it never bothered me though up until that point. And so I was in this club, that bothered me. And then I was like, I'm here getting like drinking and like I'm here looking for girls. Like all these things that never bothered me, they just bothered me in that moment. And then I was just like, on top of it while I'm here and like it's in the dark, everything's happening in the dark. And then it was even worse because I realized I'm here in this nightclub with all these my friends and I'm worse off than them because I was the only one that actually claimed to be a Christian while living this double life. So they were there, they're enjoying themselves, but I was the only one in my friend group that actually said I was a Christian while at the same time living the same lifestyle that they were in, which was not honoring to the Lord. So I realized all these things. And basically what had happened was that night I went home. And then I basically, I went home and then the next day, I was like in my bed all day. Like, I couldn't stop thinking about this. Like, it was like conviction that I could not get rid of. And so I go home. The next day was like, I think it was a Sunday. I was in my bed the whole day. And then eventually, like, I had to get out of my house because I was just like depressed in the sense of realizing this truth that I'm like, I'm not actually a Christian. And my whole life I thought I was. And so basically, from there, I ended up that evening, I go out for a drive. Just randomly, I had to get out of my house. And then I end up back at this like random park close to where I lived. And at that point, I get to this park, and basically, like, what the Lord was showing me, and you can go to the next slide. It was like this sense of the Lord placed me, and it was like, okay, your whole life, you thought you're over here following me, but you're over here, and you're living for yourself. You're living selfishly. You're living in sin. And it was like he put me in the middle, and it was like, okay, you need to choose. Like, are you going to go back and like knowingly live in your life of sin now, or are you actually going to choose to follow me and live the life that I have for you? And so that was like the question that the Lord put before me. And for me, to be honest, I grew up in a Christian household, so I knew enough to know that I was not living a good life. But I had this sense of like, I want to follow God, but I can't. Like, I tried to, like, whether it was like breaking like a pornography addiction or just like just different sin, sexual sin in my life, or even other things as well. Like, I tried to break free of things before and like try to live a good life, but I couldn't do it. I'd always end up back in sin. And so it was like this real sense of like, God, I want to, my prayer, this was like the first time I would say I genuinely prayed to the Lord, where I just started crying and I was like, Lord, like, I want to follow you, but I can't. And I was just like crying because it was like, I realized I can't actually follow God on my own strength. It was at the end of myself. And so I prayed this prayer and I was just crying out before the Lord. And that was on the next of January. It was still January 2nd. But so basically what happened was like that day. So then I had that time. And then the next, you can go to the next slide as well. So basically what happened, I wake up the next day and it was like, it was the craziest thing. Like, it was like, and obviously it's like born again. And like, and I'll read this verse too. It says, this is God. It's actually a prophetic word spoken over Israel, but, he says, I will also sprinkle you clean with water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I'll remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and to carefully obey my ordinances. And so this is literally what happened in the sense of, like, it was crazy. Like, the Lord literally gave me a new heart in the sense of, like, things that I, like, loved before that were, like, sinful, like, there was a hatred for them, like whether it was sexual sin or like even other things. It was like the Lord literally gave me this new heart and like a joy that I literally cannot, like, you can't explain the joy of the Lord. Like, you can't put it into words. And it was like, it was incredible. Like, it was so, and I remember calling like a youth pastor that day, and I was trying to like explain to him what happened. He was like so excited because he knew what it meant. And I was like trying to put words to it, but I couldn't. But it was just incredible. Like, it was literally just like this new life. And I remember I was driving back to Windsor that day with one of my friends who was with me in the nightclub to go back to school. And I started telling him, like, what happened. And I was like, bro, like, when we go back, like, first thing I said was, like, I can't go to the clubs anymore. I didn't have a desire to. And it was just different things. So it kind of started there. But then it was like, and that, the January 2nd was, like, the last time that I was actually in a nightclub. And that was, like, whatever, 14 years ago or however many years. But it was, like, that was kind of, like, the first thing. But then it just, all these other things where it was, like, the Lord just started, like, started cleansing my life, like even music and stuff. I remember I had like stuff, I was laughing with Pastor Trent because we were talking about, I had like so much stuff downloaded off like Kazaa and like LimeWire and stuff. I had like thousands of songs, but it was all like trash. And that's what I realized. Like, it was like all music that was actually, my mom used to say to me, like growing up to us, all of us, she would say garbage in, garbage out. And she did not like the music that we listened to. And she would always tell us, like, whatever you're taking in is, like, what's going to come out. And we would always tell, our line for my mom was, like, no, mom, we just like the beats. It's just the beats. That's all we just want the beats. But realizing, like, looking at my life, I'm like, my life became a reflection of the music that I was listening to and the other things I was taking in. And so, but it was crazy how the Lord just started cleaning up my life in that sense and just, like, completely giving me new desires. I remember going back to school in university and it was just, like, the Lord took me on this season of just like being hidden and like really just like taking time, like reading the Bible. Like, I never had a desire to read the Bible. Like, that's all I wanted to do. And so the Lord was like working in my life and just drawing me closer to him and giving me excitement in him. I remember, and I still pray, I'm like, Lord, like, it was the easiest season of evangelism I've ever done in my life, because like I stopped going to the club and I stopped, people didn't see me for a while. And then I started coming back around and people were like asking me like, oh, how come we don't see you? Or like, what happened? And like all this stuff. And I remember just like, just telling people like, this is what happened. And like, they would, like, I would say like, Jesus changed my life. Like that was my answer. But it was like, it almost like it wasn't good enough. They're like, oh, that's great. We can see that there's a change in your life. Like every aspect of my life changed. But it was almost like it wasn't good enough. They're like, okay, what else? And I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like I tried on my own for so long, but it was like, no, Jesus actually changed my life. Like he did a work. And so I would just be able, I had a lot of opportunities to share that. And so, so it's just like this time of transformation. The Lord just began working in really cool ways of like how the Lord actually led me into like youth ministry stuff that summer, which I ended up doing for like the following like 12 years, actually up until I came here. And it's just like an amazing like way that the Lord completely turned my life around. But you can go to the next slide. So I remember one of the things I was thinking was like, I was so happy, like living this new life. But one of the things I was realizing too, is like, man, like I, the Lord was obviously confronting me in some very direct ways, but it was almost like, man, I wish someone like really confronted me like that, like before, like, cause I'd never been confronted so directly. And it started to make me think like, man, I wish someone confronted me before or whatever. And it was like this thing of like, the Lord started putting in me this like thing of understanding the aspect of the way he loves us in terms of confronting us. And it's just like this sense of like, God loves us to meet us where we are. Like he doesn't, and that's something that's so important. I think that we can never lose sight of that. It's like God calls us wherever we are, whatever situation we're in. And it's a lie too, that the enemy will use is like, oh, you're too bad or you're too far or whatever. Like one of the things I appreciate about my testimony is that even though I grew up in the church, the Lord didn't save me in a church. He saved me in a nightclub. And so I was literally living in darkness and like saying I was following him, but I was literally in a nightclub when the Lord opened my eyes. I wasn't, and obviously everyone's story is different, but it's like he sought me out in a place of darkness. I wasn't seeking him. I wasn't there praying. And so the Lord seeks us out wherever we are, and he comes after us. He pursues us. And the amazing thing about it is that he pursues us and he relentlessly pursues us. Like I look back though, and it's like, even though, you know, why didn't anyone tell me sooner? Obviously there was like, I mean, my whole life, I just was like, there was people that, and I was like, times where I've heard the truth, but I was like, my heart was hard and I was loving my sin. But it's just that he continues to pursue us. He continues to run us down with his love. Like he's so relentless in his pursuit of us. And it's just, it's incredible. Like you can't underestimate God's like loving pursuit of, you know, he says he came to seek and to save the lost. All of us are, by default, we're in that place, every person. And God is like actively seeking to come after people and to bring people into the most amazing relationship we can ever experience in this life or ever. And he's doing that. He was doing it. He's been doing it through all of human history, and he's doing it right now. And the thing is that as children of God, we are part of this mission that God is out seeking and saving the lost. But it's like, you know, Jesus once walked this earth. But if you remember the call that he gave in at the end of Matthew, where he talks about he sent them out. He said, like, I'm all authority on earth and heaven has been given to me. And then he said, now you therefore go. So he is still doing that today. But it's like Jesus is not physically walking this earth, but we're the body of Christ. And so we are called to be the people that go out and to show love, to minister to people, to care for the hurting and the broken, and to do all of these things, to show love in practical ways. Like that's something that's super important. We need to love people in tangible and practical ways. And that's super important. But we also have to recognize that the reality of God's love is not just tangible acts of like good deeds. Like anyone can do good deeds in the sense. And there's the reality of like the message of the gospel and the truth of God's word. That's something that only we as children of God carry. And something that God has called us to share with others, because as we know, it says in the Bible, it talks about you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. And so there's this sense of like, there's truth, there's words, there's a message that actually the message of the gospel, there's things like speaking truth into people's lives when they are living in darkness, when they're living in lies. That's something that God calls us to as people. Like he's calling us to do that. He reaches people through us. And so we have to be willing to be vessels that are going to do all of the good things, love people, do all the good deeds, but also when the Lord is placing things on our hearts to share with people, that's confronting them where they're at. We need to be willing to be vessels that are going to lovingly confront people. And though, like, for me, I was angry when I was confronted, I'm so thankful. Like, I thank my brother all the time, like, you know, my brother, and then just other people that have confronted me when I needed to be confronted, even though no one likes to be confronted. But, like, when someone confronts you in love and is able to, like, point you into a better direction, when you come out on the other side, you're so much more thankful of, like, man, I'm so thankful that person actually took the time to share this with me, because I'm actually walking in this freedom now because of the fact that they went out of their comfort zone and they shared. And so I actually want us to, we're going to watch a video, and then I'm going to share some things as well. So you can just go right to the video, actually. You can just skip down and go right to the video.
Look, check it out. Labradoodle.
What?
Yeah, right down there.
Oh, I love good breed.
So good.
Yes, half lab, half moodle.
Wait, what?
Incredible.
Moodle?
Yeah.
No, that's a not a thing ever.
No, it totally is. A moodle.
Isn't that Dave from Econ?
Oh, yeah.
What is he doing up here?
He's probably just enjoying the view, man.
Wait, isn't Dave blind? We gotta warn him.
Hey, Dave.
Whoa, bro. Whoa. What are you doing? You can't just tell Dave what to do.
Wait, why?
Are you blind?
No.
Okay, so then you don't know what Dave's gone through. You can't really relate to him, man. Just let him be. He's totally fine.
He's literally slipping right now.
Yeah, okay, you're gonna get all up on him for slipping. Like, everyone slips from here and there.
I don't it's care no if he slips. I'm just trying to keep a guy from falling off a cliff.
No, okay, listen. What I think you need to do right now is you just need to love him. You need to not point out
what does
his
that have
weaknesses.
To do with anything?
It has everything to do with everything, okay? Like, if you point out his weaknesses, he won't feel loved, he won't feel accepted.
I'm just trying to keep a guy from going off the cliff.
No, he's not even stopping. Dave!
No, whoa,
stop it.
You speak out against blind people, so many people will be upset with you. No, so many people won't like you. Also, what if he doesn't like us anymore? You ever thought about that?
Dave will be dead. I need to say, hey,
no, Dave!
Dave!
Is someone there?
Yeah! Hey Dave, how's it going? It's Charlie from school.
Oh, hey man.
I'm doing this for Dave's birthday.
Maybe you can help me out. I seem to have lost a trail somewhere. You want to tell me if I'm going the right way?
Maybe he is lost.
Yeah.
You're right. We should still just encourage him.
Yeah, hey, no, Dave, you know, you're doing great, man. You know, I love that you're out here, man, too. I'm proud of you, being out on this trail.
You're doing great, man. You're doing great.
Oh. Okay, thanks, man. I guess I am going the right way.
Watch, he'll figure it out. You just gotta love him through his problems.
Yeah, you got it, man.
Dave, what are you doing?
What? Dave?
So obviously a pretty funny, I remember the first time I watched this, I was laughing when I was watching it, but then as soon as it ended, I was like, shoot, like that's pretty, it's profound in terms of the truth that it communicates, because to be honest, we live in a society and a culture where the version of love that's like promoted is one where it's just like the whole thing of like patting someone on the back while they're walking towards destruction. Like it's this thing of like love is, we idolize feelings and like making people feel comfortable and feel good. Like if you do or say something to someone that makes them feel uncomfortable, then it's just like, oh no, you can't do that. It's not loving. Whereas like the reality is like, that's not true. Like, you know, and in my own story, like, what if, you know, what if I was continued to be pat on the back of, like, I was literally on my path towards destruction and people just kept patting me on the back. It's okay, like, you're living a double life. Like, as long as you say you're a Christian, you're fine. Like, what if someone came along and did that? Like, I would still be on that path. And so God's love for us, it involves, like, confronting us and love for other people, like, even as followers of Christ. There's a sense where it calls us to actually be people who will confront in love. And that's the thing. Like, obviously, there's a place where we don't want to be, when we're confronting people in the sense of, like, sharing truth or different things, it's just, like, it has to be coming from a place of love. God, anytime he confronts us, like, even though I've been confronted by God, obviously, we all, like, get confronted by God, and, like, he'll call us out. And, like, it's amazing, though, because it's, like, God can call you out so strongly, but yet there's, like, this, you can sense his love at the same time in such a strong way. Like, it's amazing. It's, like, this strong confrontation, but then it's just, like, oh, man, in that same moment, I'm being confronted, and I'm, like, man, but, like, I can sense God's love, and the reason why he's actually doing this is because he loves me, and he wants me to draw closer in my relationship to him. So it's his motivation of love for us that will cause him to confront us and to call us out when we need to be called out. And it's the same thing for us as believers. Like, we need to be willing to be those who, in this place of deep love for people, will call them out and, like, and help to redirect them in terms of when they're getting off track. And, like, I wanted to share, as I was kind of preparing, like, I wanted to share, actually, so this is, I want to make it practical in the sense of, like, I had to deal with this recently in my own personal life, and I want to just share because I know, like, the feelings that come along with, like, when the Lord is putting in our hearts to, let's say, like, confront someone in love or things like that. It's hard. Like, that's the reality of it, and it's, like, we may not want to do it, but it's just knowing that, like, God is going to work his purposes, and it's also not, it's not, if God is putting on your heart to do something or to confront someone or to point someone in the right direction, you don't have to worry about the results. You just have to pray and, like, ask God to help you to do that and then trust that God is going to do his work in that sense. And, like, I had a situation recently. I'm just sharing this mostly just to kind of, like, just kind of show this point. But it's, I had a friend who was back home who was really getting off in a path of darkness and just, like, really getting off track. And the Lord was really putting on my heart to, like, reach out to him and confront him in a pretty strong way in the sense that it was, like, I was uncomfortable about it because it was just, like, it was very, like, the Lord, like, to come, like, very strong in terms of, like, helping him to get back on path. So it was, like, I was uncomfortable about it, but I began to do that and, like, began to talk to him and began to, like, call him out and just things in his own life. And basically, there was a point where he was initially receptive and then he actually, like, stopped being receptive for a while. So I, like, for couple weeks I didn't hear from him, and it was like I knew what was happening, but he confirmed it after. Basically, he stopped responding to me because he was like, he didn't want to be confronted. And so that wasn't for me to determine. But I remember even when he got back in contact with me, he even said, he's like, yeah, I stopped. I knew that you were going to ask me hard questions, and I knew that you're not just going to, like, kind of like pat me on the back and what I'm doing or whatever. So he didn't want to, like, he didn't want to speak to me for a while, but then I was super encouraged, and it doesn't always go like this, but he sent me a message. You can go to the text message. That's, so he sent me this randomly, and he basically quoted the verse from James 5:16, where it says, my brothers and sisters, if any among you strays from the truth and someone turns him back, let that person know that whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. So he sent me that verse, and then he just sent me that message saying, thank you for being that person who helped me come back. And then, so for me, it was super encouraging because, like, it's not that this is always going to happen, but it was just, like, to know that, like, it was just a confirmation even for me that the Lord was, like, working. And so, and just hearing him, like, wanting to get back on track now and things like that was super encouraging for me. But it was uncomfortable for me, though. And I'm just sharing this as an encouragement in a sense because I get those. We all will have those emotions and it can be hard. But it's, like, if God is, like, wanting us to reach out to someone, just do it and, like, pray about it and trust that God will work in that person's heart. Because even for me, those weeks that he wasn't contacting me, I felt helpless in the sense of, like, I had no contact with him. So all I could do is pray for him. But then it was so encouraging because God showed that, like, he was actually working in his heart even throughout that whole time to bring him back to himself. And, like, it's just so encouraging the way that God actually loves us and will directly speak to us, but then he also speaks through others. And so my encouragement even for us, You can go to the last slide. I kind of want to just end off soon. But yeah, so encouragement and like just this reality of thanking God that we have a Father who loves us and pursues us and never gives up on us. His love, mercy, and grace that he extends to undeserving sinners is beyond being able to describe in words. So it's just this sense of knowing that, like I said already, but just God's love is amazing, that he's pursuing each one of us. And it's not something where it's like, he pursued us, we're in a relationship with God, and that's it. Like, no, daily, on a daily basis, like God is pursuing us, and he's trying to continue to draw us into a closer relationship with himself. And so even, yeah, we have to be, on one sense, we're always growing. So whether God is wanting us to bring correction or helping to bring someone along the path, or whether we're the ones receiving, we're always going to be both people. Like, we haven't arrived, and so we have to be people that are humble enough to receive correction. When someone comes to us with correction or is trying to help us get on the right path, like, we have to be humble enough to receive that correction and be thankful that, like, that person is actually loving us enough to help to steer us in the right direction. And then we also need to be people that are willing to be able to, like, help others onto the right path as well. And so I also want to just encourage anyone, like, if there's anything that the Lord's been putting on our hearts, or even during this message, if there's anything that the Lord's been highlighting in your heart, whether it's just like, maybe it's compromise in an area of sin, or something that in your own life where you know the Lord's been highlighting it, and he's been wanting to like bring you closer and move you deeper into a relationship with him, but there's an area of like sin or something that's like holding you, whether it's like, whether even maybe there's like a bitterness or offense in a relationship that you've been like holding on to, like, that's something that can keep us from moving forward. And there's other things too, whether there's like, if there's like pornography addiction or something like that, anything that the Lord's highlighting in your heart, even today, whatever it is, I just encourage you to like bring that before the Lord and to trust and ask him to help you to move beyond that. Because there's nothing that's worth holding on to if it keeps us from God's purpose and plan for our life. Like, there's no, like, sin is so destructive. And whatever it takes to walk free from sin in our lives, we need to be willing to do, because God loves us, and like his purpose and his best for us is a path that's free from sin. And the reality is, we all struggle every day. We have a battle between the flesh and the spirit, but there has to be a place where we're willing to like bring, and that's why like fellowship and brothers and sisters in the Lord is so important, because we have to have a place where we can bring, even in our own lives, we can bring the sin, the things that we struggle with, into the light. Because that's where God is able to do his work. If we keep things in the darkness, the enemy has a heyday. That's where he, like, you know, when it comes to shame and discouragement, depression, all these things, like, if we live in the dark, the enemy is able to just have a heyday. And he's able to just, like, bombard us. But the amazing thing is, like, when we bring things into the light, and when we're able to just trust God in those processes of just walking free from things, it's just so amazing, the peace and the healing that comes beyond that. But it's a hard process where we have to humble ourselves, and we have to like walk into that place and trust that God will bring healing and wholeness and restoration to us. So I just want to encourage anyone, if the Lord's highlighting anything in your heart, to really just before the Lord, bring it to the Lord. And if it's a matter of like bringing it to someone else, a brother or sister, do whatever needs to be done, because God's purposes and plans are amazing. And he helps us to walk in freedom from anything that can be a hindrance. And the last encouragement I want to share is, if there's anyone that, whether here or online, where you feel like, oh, maybe I'm that fake Christian. Like, maybe I've been in church and like I do this stuff and like all this, like but I'm the Lord's highlighting to me, like, you know, maybe you're not actually living in a real relationship with me right now. Don't be like I did the first time when my brother confronted me and just kind of kept going. Like, no, recognize that it's an opportunity for you to actually to stop and recognize the Lord is calling you into a real relationship. It's the best thing you can do with your life, walking in a relationship with the Lord. For me, it's been almost 14 years, I guess. What are we now? Yeah, so it's been, and it's like, it's been amazing. Like, I'm so thankful. Obviously, there's ups and downs. It's not easy, but it's been the most amazing thing that I've experienced in my life, just walking with the Lord in a relationship. And that's the best thing anyone can experience in life, ever. Like, there's nothing greater than experiencing a relationship with the Lord. So I'd also encourage people with that. So I just want to close off in prayer, and just want to also say that there'll be some people up at the front. If anyone wants to come up for prayer, I'll be up here, and a few others will be up here to pray. If you have prayer, encouragement, anything like that, will be up at the front. But let me just close this in prayer, and then we'll transition. Father, we just thank you so much for who you are. Lord, we thank you so much for your amazing love that we can't describe, we can't put it into words, just how amazing your love is. And Lord, I thank you that you are a God who is always in pursuit of us. Lord, that you're constantly reaching out to us, God, that you're constantly revealing your love and your mercy and your kindness and your grace to us daily, Lord. None of us deserve it, but yet your heart is so full of love and mercy and kindness towards us, and I thank you so much for that. And so I just pray even now, I just pray over every single person here and anyone watching, Lord, I just pray, God, I pray for a revelation of your love, Lord, that we can't fully understand, but even your word says that you help us to get revelation of the depth, the width, the length, the height of your love that surpasses understanding, Lord. And so I just pray even right now that you would bring a revelation of your love that passes understanding, that we would all walk in a deeper level of understanding and knowing your love for us. So I pray even right now that you would do that. I pray that you would just continue to help us to walk, to lead us, that you would lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, Lord, that you would just continue to guide us in the life and the plan and the purpose that you have for each one of us, God. I pray that you would bring healing and freedom to anyone right now that's struggling, God. I just pray that there would be chains that would be broken, God, even this morning, where there's bondage, where there's struggle, Lord. I just pray that you would bring healing. You would bring fresh hope where there's discouragement or despair. I pray that your Holy Spirit would bring fresh hope, fresh light. I pray for anyone dealing with depression or just heaviness, Lord, that they don't even know where it's coming from. I just pray that you would cause that heaviness to lift right now in Jesus' name. I pray that your light would shine powerfully right now in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we thank you for what you're doing and just praise you. And we just thank you so much for your goodness in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in today. As you go about your week, check out our daily Bible reading plans and soap devotionals on our website, which is www.newhopelegacy.com. Have a blessed week.